This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
WHM Mailbag, everybody. I'm Andrew Jupin, alongside Steven Sadek, Eric Siska, and Christopher Cabin. We are here reading your letters. Oh my God, we got so much to get to. I'm gonna dispense with the niceties and get right to it. Wow. Steve Sadek.
Okay,
let's start us off here. April Mailbag. Here we go.
It's from Steven from Charlotte. We demanded this
because you demanded it.
Yeah. Oh, it's like the Lord said, "Ask and you shall receive." Steven from Charlotte.
I was like, who the fuck is that? This is the guy that we talked about on the Ultraviolet episode.
He's the man that requested Ultraviolet.
He
requested Ultraviolet, which, first of all, what a son of a bitch.
But sure.
Second of all, he claimed in the call that this broke up his relationship with his girlfriend at the time, so we demanded, of course, we got to hear that
deets.
Story. So here it is.
Deets, man. Get them deets.
Deets.
Get them deets.
Here we go. And I do have to say, just because I'm going to say it the right way, but it's Steven spelled with a V, which we all know is wrong.
So that's my middle name.
Which is wrong. It's wrong.
Stefan Urkel over
that's
here.
That's the cheap Stevens.
Yeah, no, I got a relative in Austria that's Stefan.
The right way.
Just so well, it's not Steven.
The royal way.
I don't
way.
Say Steven. Where the fuck is the V?
The anyway, pH, you know what?
The pH becomes what? Wait,
it's not a telephone.
Wait. The pH stands for what on the periodic table of elements that you're getting this sound from?
V8. That's the element. Tomato juice.
All right, here we go.
Steven from Charlotte on Ultraviolet. Mm. Hey, guys. You wanted to hear my Ultraviolet story, so I wanted to tell it to you.
That's straight.
Yes, I'm Steven from Charlotte. In 2006, I was a senior in high school.
Oh.
My girlfriend at the time didn't attend the same school as me, so we would get together on weekends and see movies. She had talked all week about seeing this movie that I had never heard of called Ultraviolet. I agreed, and on Friday I picked her up and we headed to the theater. My best friend met us there. Here's a problem, dude. You're on a date.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
my best friend met us there. Like, you see this girl twice a week.
Are you trying to
your best friend? Oh,
fuck your best friend?
Oh no,
angle and a threesome.
Angle, get that angle.
Get an angle. Getting that angle. I'm okay with that.
Getting that angle.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that angle.
My best friend.
Put in the work early.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to lay in that fucking foundation, Kevin.
Exactly. You got to lay the groundwork. You can't just spring that on somebody.
Oh, hey, Sarah. This is my best friend Jerry. Isn't he fit?
We were going to get dinner later. Are you open for your dinner later?
Yeah, hey, if you want
dinner means sex.
Hey, Jerry, why don't you give Sarah your number? Just so you guys can talk too, and then we'll all talk together.
Oh,
isn't texting fun?
I said the wrong emoji. No, he didn't. My best
friend. 2006, we didn't have those yet.
That's true. Yes. My best friend.
This emoji looks like a penis.
Sorry.
Did you just bomb our chat room? Remember that?
Oh, fuck, yo. You fucking nerds. Keep this bomb. It's me being a bigger nerd, copying, pasting shit to ruin your experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course.
So stupid.
All right. So they're seeing Ultraviolet.
Ask
with his
your grandparents if you don't know what bombing a chat room is. My best friend met us there, and we proceeded to the movie. About 20 minutes in, I looked at my best friend to ask if he understood anything we were seeing, to which he just looked at me wide-eyed and confused.
You gotta break up with this girl.
Accurate. Yeah, accurate reaction to everything.
Come on, Steven. If you broke up with her, it could just be me and you. We could go see good movies. We could see good movies, Steven. Steven, it doesn't have to be this way.
after the 90-minute eternity dumpster fire ended, we all walk into the car. My best friend and I berated the movie to shreds, saying that the movie was nonsense. While my girlfriend, while taking my, by the way, so you walk, you take, you're crashing your own date, and then you and your friend are criticizing the date on the way out,
the one that she picked out specifically.
I mean, like, you know what, man?
He's in high school. He's learning. This is how you learn.
You're gonna be a little obnoxious.
How do we learn how to pick ourselves up, Master Wayne?
We crash our own dates.
I wish I had a good Michael Caine.
I mean, I feel like Alfred was always on Bruce's dates, right?
Totally. Not on the first date, sir. Maybe the second.
Master Wayne, when are we having our three-way?
I don't understand this. Are they vampires? Are they? What's going on here? Is it future?
Boy, Master Wayne, this girl sure is stupid. That movie was terrible.
Is that a ball person? A black ball person. Okay.
And her outfit is awful. No, here it goes. So while taking my girlfriend home, she started gushing about how much she adored the movie and how innovative and amazing it was. We argued the entire ride to her house, and she told me repeatedly, I just didn't get the movie, and it was above my head.
Oh, she's wrong.
Okay. Yeah,
she's,
that's not possible.
Right. You know what? She's dead wrong.
You have to see the movie they're not making. it's artistic. You wouldn't understand.
Our relationship.
It's quiz show.
First of all, our relationship ended, and we've only spoken once since then. I don't know if you had a relationship if you're taking your buddy to dates.
Yeah, it sounds like this was doomed from the start.
I've only talked to her once since then. I continue to hate this movie with a fire and a passion to this day. Love the show. Sorry for almost breaking you guys. Steven from Charlotte. You really did almost break us.
It was tough.
That was close.
It was tough.
That is
not know what to do.
I was icing my brain for 2 weeks after that one. I couldn't bring myself to watch movies.
We were at each other's throats.
Yeah. I just was like, you know what, dude? I'm fucking 33. What are we doing here, man? Yes, this is a podcast about what? We're watching who this week?
I'm white. I'm in my 30s. Don't I have a novel to write?
Oh, God, that's sad.
All right, let's continue here.
Highlander 3, what are you watching? Comma origins, period.
It's been a while since we had one of these.
True.
Good day, guys. I'm guessing he's from Australia.
I hope so. That's some poser shit.
I don't know.
Poser?
Wait, maybe it should be good day, mates, right?
No, I mean, you're saying good day. You're on that continent, or you're not saying good day.
Yeah, you can't even drop that in. Like, just you can call somebody mate, I guess, or say cheers.
No, all this shit that us stupid Americans fucking co-opt, like fucking calling the Atlantic Ocean the pond. Shut up, Americans.
I agree with you, but that stuff you can sprinkle into conversation, and no one's gonna really like have an aneurysm about it. If somebody's like, "Hey, good day, man," I'm like, "Hey, fuck you." But that's the only answer you can give.
Go fuck you, stupid American.
I'm pretty sure this guy's Australian.
Oh, thanks for the email anyway. Rather enjoyed the Highlander 3 app and thought I'd share my own experience with the movie. When I watched it for the first time, it was as a video rental at home. At the time, the family home was being extensively renovated, and the whole family being stop saying family being confined
you're
to
gonna
basic-
edit him on the fly, huh?
Basically, so the family was confined to basically two rooms.
Wait, is this his friends or is this his family?
No, it's not his best friend. It's his family.
He's angling for a family way.
Is this dog
family way?
Separated by a temporary partition. Oh, that's hell. Myself and my brothers in one room and my parents in the next. I was 13 or 14 at the time. To get to the kitchen, my parents had to walk through the room we were in. So every time they came through, they got an update on the adventures of Connor McCloud and friends.
I mean, this is one of those movies you can't be watching.
Nope.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's probably why I loved it so much growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, the first time during the movie that my dad came through, Mario Van Peebles was being told, no glove, no love by his lady friend.
Come on. Good God.
My dad asked us what the movie was. It's Highlander 3. You know, the sequel to that Sean Connery one.
But good move, because you're in legit territory. Right. Remember that Sean Connery? That movie came out in theaters.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So did this one.
Yeah, did it, though.
Yes, it did. He seemed I think it did. Mm. Don't tell me it didn't. He seemed unconvinced that it and returned to his chair in the other room with his cup of coffee. What the fuck time are you watching this?
I thought this
this is not a fucking 10 a.m. movie.
Maybe it's an after-dinner decaf.
Maybe we're doing like an AA meeting. Is that what's going on in the other room? That's what his friends are doing?
My brothers and I had to live in one room, and my parents conducted AA meetings on the other side of this curtain.
We were able to watch movies, but not dirty ones.
Fast forward to however long it was, he comes in again with another cuppa. I don't know what cuppa.
Yeah, cuppa. It's slang they use.
Oh, is that
a cup of Joe?
Cup of.
Okay.
Cuppa.
Vegemite. This time.
No.
Australia rules football? What do you want me to say?
Foster's, of course.
Jesus Christ. Keep going.
This time to be confronted by Mr. Lambert plowing Deborah Caro Unger to the strange.
This is getting you grounded, pal. You're grounded.
Discount River Dance.
Oh, I love that.
He didn't comment this time. Seconds after he left the room, my mom called. Oh, mom. Yeah, okay. So we're, definitely not an American posing, right? Because they would never say mom.
No.
No, that's no one says mom.
That's the one thing we won't steal.
Thank goodness.
My mom called out, "What movie are you boys watching?" At this point... It was a character, Chris.
Of course.
At this point, I felt that I had to pause the movie and take the video case for them to see, just so that they knew I hadn't rented some softcore Martin Skinamax flick. Whenever you guys use the "What are you watching?" line, this movie always comes to mind first. What was the biggest offender in the department? What was the biggest offender in that department during your teenage years? Love the show, Bryn. I think that's right. Bryn? Brian?
Yeah, I think it's Bryn. I think it's Bryn.
Bryn.
Bryn? Brian?
Let's go with Bryn. I think that sounds pretty cool.
And no offense, I know I'm a boorish, ugly American.
We would watch some fucking Red Shoe Diaries when my mother was at American Legion meetings with her friend there. We'd go in the other room and see what the Red Shoe Diaries were up to. And it was always like, what are you watching? I was like, oh, it's a thriller. It's a thriller.
Somebody's stalking something.
Exactly.
Anything went in my house.
Oh, really? Yeah. Anything goes? Well, you guys were watching Cruise It on the weekends.
My parents subscribed to the Playboy channel, and they were like... It's there if you want it. Goodbye. We're going out for the night.
That's
a good move, man.
We're going to get some beers at the Legion. Do what you will.
No, I mean, was it a good move?
I mean, you turned out okay.
I turned out like a disaster. For some reason, all my crossed wires work on this specific podcast, and that's it. Other than that, I'm a disaster.
I can attest that. I've lived with you.
So Chris, yes, Chris, I can support that. I guess
you had some pretty fucking freewheeling parents.
Well,
too.
I guess because I kind of broke them,
like a horse. And now you ride them.
No, like so
family way.
I watched whatever because my dad was scamming for Columbia House. So like
you gotta watch whatever tapes.
How long
he
did this thing go on for?
Years.
My family, we did the one and done. It was like the Latanza heist, and we walked away. You know what I mean?
No. So I came into Chris Cabin's life in about the year 2000. Uh-huh. This thing had been going on for a while and was still going.
No way. Yes. The year 2000
into that time.
We were at least 3 years deep into DVD culture. This motherfucker was still getting 10 VHS tapes a month.
I was going to say, did you get a DVD from Columbia House?
Yes, we started getting DVDs from Columbia House.
You were getting digital video discs from Columbia House. Your grandparents what Columbia House is, ladies and gentlemen.
That's your great grandparents.
Yes. Yes, seriously.
No, so I mean, we had a bounty back there, so I got to see like everything. But for some reason, I've never understood it.
My mom had this big thing about me not seeing Seven.
Oh, really?
She didn't want me because she heard it was a torture movie.
Oh.
And she didn't like those torture movies.
Right. I mean, she's right.
She is right. But, of course, you know, we're on vacation and, you know, they go out for a nice dinner and I'm a walk from the video store and they don't give a shit what you're doing in Massachusetts. So
I think they put that on the bottom of all their license plates.
Yes, they had to fix it for PR purposes. But the original one, I believe, yes. So I watched it and like they came home like right at the end where when he shoots Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
And she's like, "You did it!" And I was like, yeah.
You ruined vacation.
And then after that, I mean, that was the floodgates. And then, yeah, of course, you know, 2 years later, I'm watching Happiness with them.
Yeah. Oh,
with them.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable. Now, I was not as fortunate as you all. The fucking What Are You Watching was like born in the Jupin household. And I think it was because I had younger siblings, but it was always like, you know, the second someone said fuck, it was like, and this was amazing because like my parents, God love them, have filthy mouths.
Sure.
My dad invents profanity. But it was like, as soon as someone said fuck, it was like, what is this? And it was always like, and I've told this before, but it was like the poorest timing, you know?
Yeah, of
like,
course.
These were in the early DVD days. I got like a flip disc Animal House DVD. So we're watching that. And it's right where Belushi's spying on the lady.
Flip disc DVDs don't get comfortable.
No.
You know, it's just, well, no.
Get ready to stand up again. No, it wasn't like the Casino DVD. It was like, you know, 4:3 on one side, widescreen on the other. And it was like right where Belushi's watching the chick like change and she starts like sticking her finger down her underpants.
Sure.
And my mom came home from work and it was just like, what is this?
Oh, come on.
And I was like, look, he fell off the ladder. It's fucking hilarious. Look at that.
He's going to do the mashed potato things. Oh, it's over, huh?
I've still never seen the Eddie Murphy film Metro because I wanted to rent it one time and I couldn't because Eddie Murphy says dirty things.
You're not missing anything.
No, not a thing.
Fair enough.
Your mom's right. Like, he says the wrong kind of F-bomb. Like, yeah, you're, no, right, you're right, Mom.
Correct.
You're right, Mom.
Well, she's right.
Track 4 on Raw.
Well, you're right.
All right, Chris Cavan, what
all
do
right.
we got?
My father versus Steven Seagal, also another cheap Steven.
Yeah, absolutely.
Versus Blockbuster.
Oh, boy.
Hey, dudes. My name is Nima.
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 He's a pronounced Nima. I am a dude.
Keep reading.
Are you okay, Eric?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you reading?
And wanted to share, pronounce Nima and I am a dude, and wanted to share a bittersweet experience I had when I was but a wee lad. Back in 1998, I was 13 years old and had a family tradition of renting movies, video games every weekend from Blockbuster.
I know, yeah, that's I like.
Had, yeah, oh, I know, absolutely.
I know that life.
Anyone ever rent a video game system?
I did. I rented what was the Nintendo Virtual Boy?
Oh, right. Yeah.
I rented that a lot, and I think it fucked up my eyes for a couple years.
You had to put down a deposit, though, right? That was the thing?
Yeah, you were kind of leaving a copy of a credit card with them, which I think was a whole dangerous move.
Oh, yeah, you're fucking leaving it at Blockbuster. There's practically carnies over there, man.
I know the fucking scumbags in my town that worked at those.
I just saw this news piece the other day about one of the last Blockbusters that's still in operation.
In like Alaska or something?
Wasilla.
Yeah.
My friend drove by that the other, like he was in Alaska.
Really?
He was like, he came back. The first thing he said is like, my God, there's Blockbusters in Alaska. I was like, we're going.
And there was this whole thing about like the community of the town, like how like in the winter, like it's nice to go to the video store.
Oh,
and
I'm just
like,
nice. God,
Jesus Christ.
Nice.
I think if I walked through the gates of a Blockbuster, I'd start crying. I really would, because I've come to a point in my life where I'm like, you know what, Netflix, fucking suck a dog's dick.
Yeah.
Well, just go to Alaska, because it's just Blockbusters and Ponderosas and all the other banished fucking chain restaurants and
it's like
video
the island
stores.
Of, the Island of Lost Toys. There's a fucking KB toy store. That's where Borders Books went.
Well, I think George H.W. Bush is still president of Alaska.
Well, no, he's not, because they've legalized weed.
Oh, that's true.
All right, continue. All right. This is a long one.
My dad, at the time, ran his own karate school.
Yep.
And had an obsession with Steven Seagal. Okay.
All checking in.
That's great. Every weekend, my dad would rent a variety of Seagal movies.
Even there weren't renting, that many of them.
Even renting the same movie multiple times.
Well, this is 1998, man. There were plenty of Steven Seagal movies.
Yeah, they were stacking up.
Are classics, so I understand.
We're post Glimmer Man, I think, at this point.
Man, a pre Glimmer Man world. I don't want to know it.
It might have been in theaters really? At this point.
No, Glimmer Man's when I check out.
Yeah, I agree.
Seagal.
What's like, the movie where he's killing all the Jamaicans?
Marked for Death.
Yes.
Ah,
that sounds right.
That's a stay tuned.
They're all stay tuned, Steve. One weekend, he decided to rent 1994's On Deadly Ground.
Nice.
And was so obsessed with the film that he bought a jacket closely resembling the one Seagal wore in the film, complete with frilly brown tassels running around the sleeves.
I love it.
Oh, good gracious. As the following weekend approached, we made our way back to Blockbuster for another round of rentals. I chose Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, and my dad chose 1995's Under Siege 2 Dark Territory.
You better believe he did.
God damn it. So we get to the counter and hand the guy our membership cards. He scans it, then informs my dad that On Deadly Ground had not been returned. It was my responsibility to gather the rentals and return them with my mom.
Gather the rentals! Boy, gather the rentals.
Are you done milking that cow? Gather the rentals.
You and your mother will return them to the Blockbuster post haste.
Tie up the hay and get back to Blockbuster.
Well, if those tapes aren't in Anchorhead by sunup, they'll be hell to pay.
Well, you could go to the Academy next year. You know, with the rental harvest coming up, I'm going to really need you. You could go to Tashi Station another time. Gather the rentals. You got to bring them to Blockbuster.
Oh my god!
With your rental sack. And that we will be charged $90.
Oh, that's how they get you.
Wasn't that $1 million back then?
Yeah, oh, please.
I think it was 98.
1998 money. Holy shit!
If it wasn't brought back. After promising my dad I had gathered and returned the tape with my mom confirming we did so, he turns his attention back to the cashier. This is trouble. keep in mind that my dad is a 5'7 angry ball of Middle Eastern black belt karate master with short man syndrome.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, boy. As he's screaming at the poor cashier, some of his insults start to sound very familiar.
This is so awesome.
My dad was straight up insulting the guy with lines pulled from Seagal's entire film catalog as if he made them up himself. God damn it. Oh, that's horrible. Lines like, you think you're a big man, huh? Big man? Show me what a big man can do.
Yelling at this 16-year-old kid.
Exactly. This practical carny.
If your dad knew how stupid you were, he'd trade you in for a pet monkey.
Oh,
when I'm done fucking you, you can go to a proctologist. Where is this one from?
I don't know, but I want to rent it.
And get a soothing ointment. Rub it on the hole that hurts most. How do you want it? How do you want it?
Just screaming, how do you want it at a teenager?
Oh, I think this was from his sex dungeon they found. Right?
Yeah.
Didn't he have a sex dungeon?
He did.
Definitely had a sex dungeon.
Alleged, we don't know.
No, he definitely had someone in a sex dungeon.
He at least rented one.
Gather the rentals. You better return that sex dungeon post-haste.
My dad threatened to do karate on the guy several times.
Oh, I'll fucking do karate on you, motherfucker.
I'm ready to do it right now.
You see these tassels? You see these tassels?
even demonstrated how he would karate up Blockbuster.
I am hitting the chair.
My dad was doing all of this while wearing his brown, frilly, faux suede Seagal jacket with tassels, billowing and all.
Oh, God, I love it.
So the cashier picks up the phone and says he's going to call the police. Good job. And if he didn't leave.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, my family was banned from Blockbuster. As we walk outside, my dad calls out to the cashier to get his attention and roundhouse kicks a sign outside of the store front thinking it belonged to Blockbuster, but it turned out to be a sign for the sandwich shop sharing the same building.
Oh, Grandma's sandwiches took a real hit that day.
Oh, God. The best part. Years later, when I was moving into my first apartment, I discovered a VHS tape.
Oh, come on.
Wedged between my TV and the wall. The title read, On Deadly Ground.
Oh, Nemo.
Oh, man.
Boy, I told you to gather the rentals.
You can move into an apartment next year.
To this day, he doesn't know the truth, and he will never find out. It's a deep, dark secret I will take to my grave. Good on you. Have any of you guys gone through a similar ordeal or been embarrassed beyond all belief by your parents? Keep making me laugh, gents. You guys are pretty good at it. Hugs and kisses from Fresno, California, Steve.
I mean, yeah, well, there's a story where I did, this is almost the exact same Buffy the Vampire Slayer story, where which I've told in the show before, like, yeah, my dad would get into it with people. My dad will still get into it with people.
That's
because,
unbelievable.
You know, he's an arguer, man. He will argue. I remember being in a McDonald's, and there was, this is, ask your grandparents
you
about this.
You remember being in a McDonald's?
Hold on, Eric.
You didn't order it on your phone?
I was in a McDonald's with my dad, and there was a woman smoking next to us, which was the style at the time.
Sure was.
And we were in the smoking section, and he started getting into it with her. And it's like, yeah, man, we're in the smoking section, baby. It's McDonald's. It's 1988. This is what we're doing today.
What the fuck leg did he have to stand on that time?
He's just like, it's disgusting. I've got kids here, kind of. It was, I've got kids here.
God.
That was pretty embarrassing.
You know, my parents didn't do this, but I had an uncle who just loved fucking fighting with people. Just fucking yelling in public, man. One time, I will never forget this. We went out for dinner for my cousin's birthday. And it was like maybe like four of us. And you know, not like a huge party. Not like 20 people at a long Citizen Kane table. Just like a tiny little dinner at this, like, it was like a brew house kind of a thing. And we get the food. They forgot my cousin's dinner. They didn't put her dinner in. It's her birthday.
Oh,
and my uncle is losing his ever-loving fucking mind. You ruined my daughter's birthday. We're here. You could have forgotten anyone's fucking meal. You forgot the birthday girl's death. Fucking screaming and yelling. This is we are on a back deck patio situation. Everyone's just looking for a quiet dinner on the river. He is screaming at this woman.
Yeah, you are ruining your daughter's birthday.
That's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
I don't really think there were many public freakouts.
Okay, I was going to say.
I think, I mean, my parents are embarrassing big time, but they haven't really screamed at a lot of people that I recall. I'll have to think on it. Maybe next mailbag I'll try to drudge up a memory.
Once my dad got pulled over and had one too many and answered the door when the police knocked on it with a hat with a pet fake lobster on it.
Uh-huh.
And he answered to the police, "My name is the Lobster Police."
No way.
Was your dad immediately arrested?
15 years. I would give that man 15 years.
Fucking county lobster. No, lock up for the king of the lobsters.
A 15-minute rant from my mother later.
Yeah, that'll do
We're half a mile from the place we're supposed to be.
I'm the Lobster Police. Too many of what, by the way? That's not even alcohol at that point. One too many paint thinner shots. Didn't your dad flip the fuck out at an usher when you went to see the Tom and Jerry movie?
He did.
What was the story with that? Do you remember? You told me this.
God,
before.
This was forever ago. It crashed.
Oh, the
it crashed, and like nobody came in fast enough.
Oh, yep.
To tell us what was gonna happen.
Yeah, you didn't fix this problem fast
enough.
It
was, you know, a minute later, and he storms out. And somebody got it. I don't know how, and I don't know what it looked like.
I have never understood the whole, like, making a spectacle.
You don't know.
Like, shit happens. I'll throw, like, a sarcastic comment here or there.
I'll get into it sometime. Not get into it, but I'll just sort of get a little irritating.
Actually, oh, wait a second. I got into it.
Oh, did you get into it?
I just remembered. I got into it last weekend.
Oh, yeah?
So I was, you know, it's been a fucking shitty you know, week or so, man. You know, I said on social media my grandfather passed away. So I was, you know, kind of feeling down in the dumps. I was like, all right, man, this is, you know, the next day I got to leave for upstate to go to this funeral and whatnot. How about I go to the Alamo Draft House down in Brooklyn, see myself a motion picture, have a beer, take my mind off everything. So I walk into this auditorium, and I got to tell you, first of all, I love the Alamo Brooklyn. It's a great new facility. I've only been there twice, but both times have been fine, except for this fucking thing. So we go. I'm seeing Ben Wheatley's Free Fire. So I go in. I'd missed the movie at Toronto, so I've been sort of interested in checking it out. Go into this theater, and there's like two ushers, and it's like one usher who's been there, I guess, since it opened like 2 months ago or whatever, and then like this newbie. So this guy's like showing this newbie the ropes, right? Sure. And I walk in, and he's like, so the movie that's playing in this auditorium is Free Fire. And if you'll notice, like on the screen, this is like our pre-show presentation, and the, you know, here at Draft House, like the pre-show's always catered to the movie that's playing right now. And Free Fire, I gotta tell you, this movie fucking sucked. This movie, man, it's only good if you're fucking drunk. This movie's so fucking terrible. You know, he's got, and I'm like 3 feet away. I'm taking my coat off to like watch this movie. And I was like, Jesus Christ. And this guy stops. He's like, what? And I was like, I'm about to sit down to watch this movie. What are you doing? And he's like, no, I'm just... And I was like, no. I've been waiting to see this movie since September. What are you doing? And this other guy comes up and he's like, it's like kind of older, maybe like a manager or something. He's like, oh, what's going on here? I was like, well, I'm about to sit down for this movie and this guy's talking shit about it. And these two kids like scurried out of the theater. And this guy tried to pass it off as like, oh, don't, that guy doesn't even work. He's like joking. He's like, that guy doesn't even work here. He came up from the Target downstairs. I was like, oh, I don't think so. I took to Twitter immediately. Oh, I started fucking going at it, and I you know, kept tagging Draft House. And to their credit, it was great customer service. They were like, huh, that's really fucking terrible. We will address this with the entire staff immediately.
Wow.
But come on, man. Talking shit about the movie I'm about to see.
Well, you know, that actually brings to mind I had a public freak out not long ago. It was probably like a year. No, it was like two, three years ago. I had like an ear infection, and I had to go to an urgent care because I was just like, it was driving me nuts.
Those are terrible.
I don't visit doctors because I'm a Christian Scientist.
Everyone knows
no,
that.
No, insert any religion reason. No. It's just I just don't go to doctors. I don't believe in it. If I die, I die. But I had an ear infection and it was bothering me. So I go there and I get a prescription like for antibiotics or whatever. And they send it to this like Dwayne Reed or whatever. And I go there and they're like, no, not here. And I go, I'm like, oh God, you know, I call this doctor, you know, I get it sent again. And they're like, no. And it like happens like three times, and then I flip the fuck out in this Dwayne Reed the point where this kid is visibly afraid of me. And I leave. I give it like a day.
Is there a highlight sentence you could think of? Like one thing that you might have said that might have really done it?
Or is it just blank rage?
There was a lot of fucking shits. I was seeing red. I don't even remember what I was saying.
Berserker rage.
But the funny part of the story is like the next day or
you
something.
You realized you were at the wrong Dwayne Reed?
No.
Because that would have been great.
I finally got it worked out. And I'm like, well, shit, that's the closest one to my house.
Oh, you're going to go back?
I go back and there's another dude that's like the kid sees me and he's fucking like running for it. So
he's got a gun.
What's the appropriate reaction in this scenario? I decided to chase him.
No, you didn't.
I chased him to apologize about what I did the other day.
Oh, there you go.
But imagine that. I just ran after him. Boy.
How did he react when he realized it was an apology?
He was like, he was just like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It
was like,
whatever you want, man.
Yeah. He's like backing away. He's about to open the register.
He's handing you all this ear medicine here. Dang it. Dang it. I got it all. It's the blue Nissan.
God, that is great.
That's awful.
All right. Good Friday, the cross, and Data's dick.
Dick.
Hey, WHM pals, love the show. You guys have helped me through some real hard times. I was the guy at the LA Suburban Commando show who made Steve pretty uncomfortable when I told him he and the other boys helped me through my meth addiction. 1 year clean, woohoo.
No, and I don't mean uncomfortable. I was just flabbergasted.
What the fuck's your
yeah,
problem,
I mean,
Steve?
You just do a live show and somebody's like, by the way, your stupid comedy jokes helped with my meth addiction. I don't know what the fuck to say to that. I mean, I was impressed. I'm very glad for the man.
Well, let's congratulate him on 1 year being clean.
Absolutely.
Yes. Totally,
that's,
man.
That's amazing.
That's no small feat.
We make fucking weird Nick Nolte voices.
Yeah, well,
that's
all.
That's basically all we do. And then we yell at people in Dwayne Reed's.
In our off time. So today I'm taking pictures of a cross-carrying event for Good Friday, as I am a church communications guy. Then I get called upon to carry the cross for a while.
Nice.
I'm not religious in the least, but I respect the ritual, and it's my job to kind of fake it, so I carry it for half a mile with some other people.
Whoa.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
How long is this walk?
I don't know.
Long did Jesus walk? Was a marathon named after him?
Yes, Jesus Marathon.
Congratulations. You completed a half Jesus. I know, because there's a fucking sticker on the bumper of your Subaru.
Here, let me put a napkin up to your face. Oh, look, it's your visage. Yeah, we used to do, in the Catholics, you do the Stations of the Cross, but that's just you're kind of going around the church.
You go around the church. It's endless enough as it is, but we're not going outside.
I think this is like the
real hardcore
the crazy,
shit.
Like the evangelical, like, you fucking feel the punishment.
While we're walking, I hear a close but faint conversation about Data from Star Trek's dick and how crazy his fucking must be.
Wait. You're carrying a cross and you are hearing about Data's fucking fully functional cock.
Well, that's the Lord, don't you know?
Yeah. And how much of a pervert Dr. Soong must be to endow his fucked up, sparkly self-portrait Pinocchio with a yar-satisfying proto-torpedo. I like when people write it in the mailbag and they got some clever sentences.
I like the flowery language.
As discomfort mounts, I realize the voices are familiar. It was the WHM boys broadcasting from my pants, as my phone sometimes has a mind of its own.
Oh, man. This, yeah.
Gee, you know what, man? Fucking airplane mode to the max.
This has happened to me. Not this, but, like, you know, your phone. Like, I'll be on the turlet, like, trying to download a podcast for when I get out of the work turlet.
And then all of a sudden, Red Shoe Diaries comes on.
Then Zach Lowe's talking about basketball. And I'm like, dude, shut up, Zach Lowe.
I quickly scrambled to turn my phone off while trying to carry my share of a symbol of Christ's sacrifice before Eric puts the horrifyingly gross Patreon cherry on top of the already iffy subject.
Well, you know, we died for your sins.
So. Of course.
And it's Patreon, man. If you have a Patreon subscription, it gets gross on there.
It gets gross. I am positive the church elders that were less than a foot away from me carrying the cross heard this as well, but didn't say anything to me. Thank God for the silent rage and passive aggressiveness of Minnesota Nice. Thanks for everything, guys.
Well, you think?
Sorry about that.
That's embarrassing.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
You think Picard ever went to the holodeck and got himself crucified?
Yeah, just to see what it was like.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know, he played Pontius Pilate.
I'll let you go, Jesus.
Computer, turn up pain frequency.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's just going in there and doing Jesus Christ Superstar all the time. What's the buzz telling me what's happening? What's the buzz telling me what's happening?
Oh, Mr. Data, what are you doing here?
he makes Data play Jesus.
Oh.
He's like, give me those logs, mister. And then he nails him to the cross.
Oh, I love it.
I can crucify a robot.
They don't feel pain.
Mark.
All right, let's keep going here.
All right, these are two emails that were so similar. I'm going to read them really back to back.
Okay.
I'm going to discuss them in kind of a long form here.
I like that.
Okay. Hey, WHM gang. Love the show. You're hilarious. Yada, yada, yada. They wrote yada, 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 which I appreciate.
It's not just us being rude.
Wait, you yada yada'd over the best part.
Now the reason I'm writing is because I was reminded of an incident recently that happened when I was in high school. My then girlfriend was over, and I was trying to get her to watch Raising Arizona, one of my favorite movies that she had never seen. She kept wanting to ignore the movie and just have sex.
You know what?
Come on.
You can save Raising Arizona for fucking 2 o'clock on a Sunday. Get down to fucking.
You're in high school, by the way. Figure it out,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, totally. Fuck. Just fuck.
Wait. What? They're in high school.
Yeah.
We're not their parents. They're not legal.
I don't know.
Listen. Fuck when appropriate. Do what's in your heart.
No. Never pass up a free lunch.
Totally. Especially over watching Raising Arizona. Please. I love that movie. But fucking get it wet.
So she wanted to have sex while I kept saying I just really wanted her to watch the movie.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Needless to say, she ended up not liking the movie because she wasn't paying attention to it.
Because she wanted to fuck.
Fast forward to now, and we've been married for 15 years come July.
Holy shit.
See, Eric, it all worked out.
Yeah, she's pretty forgiving.
Well, as long as you get married, guys.
Yeah,
guys,
exactly.
Get married, then have sex. That's sure. What I'm saying.
But she still doesn't see the genius of Raising Arizona, though she does love the other Coen brother movies. My question is, was I insane to choose love of movies over physical love, or have you ever had a similar experience? Keep on casting. Is that a phrase? Adam. So the second one here is, hey gang, first of all, I wanted to say how much I love the show. I eagerly await new episodes, but when I need to pick me up, I always return to your thinner episode. Sure. Something about the pasta cruise always lifts my spirits. That's nice.
Well, here's the thing. We've done 300 episodes at this point. I have no clue what she's talking about.
Not at all.
I think it was the fat guy in Thinner was eating pasta. Yeah, I think we made some
on a
some
boat
crack. Yeah,
he was eating pasta on a boat. That's right.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Oh, now I remember from the movie. Oh, all right.
All right, here's my story. A few months ago, I wanted to date with a guy. And
I like that.
We had gone on a few dates prior and had been friends before that, so I knew him pretty well. That particular day, we went to see a midnight showing of Blue Velvet at the IFC Center.
Oh, fuck. That theater's terrible.
That's an all right theater.
It's disgusting.
I had never seen it, so I didn't know how insane it was that he suggested this as a date movie.
Yeah.
After watching it and being at once horrified and mesmerized, as per usual with Lynch films, he asked me what I thought. I gave him my honest opinion, which was that I knew it was an incredibly well-directed and acted, but I hated it and I never wanted to see it again, which is a totally valid thought. He was taken aback by that, and he said he had seen Blue Velvet, that not only is Blue Velvet one of his favorite films, he's seen it hundreds of times.
That's, first of all, he's lying.
Yeah, that's not true.
Nobody's seen anything hundreds of times.
He's seen it 12 times.
This really disturbed me and changed the way I thought about him as a person. It's wild to me that somebody could easily watch Isabella Rossellini get brutally raped by Dennis Hopper multiple times and seemingly not have a problem with it. My question to you guys is this. For you, what are the movies that, if somebody says it's one of their favorite films, it negatively affects how you see them?
Sorry.
Keep up the good work, Sonia from Brooklyn.
Any of them, they're human centipede movies.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yep.
Well, I've seen them all in theaters, but only
gross.
Once. One and done.
Well, that changes my view of you. But Blue Velvet, I like it.
It's a great movie. I mean, I love that movie.
It's amazing. It's a great movie. I wouldn't
be
like, hey.
It's a comfort movie.
No, it's like, hey, baby.
And that's the thing, it's like,
hey. Hey, baby.
Date movies and movies you're watching in your bedroom or whatever, this is fluff. You abandon it. Don't hold it precious. You know, responding to both of these.
I definitely understand where the impulse comes from. Like, I get it.
Like, you want to share some piece of art.
Because at this, I imagine at this age, those things matter a lot to you. Those things are your personality.
You're passionate. You haven't been fucking stamped down by the world.
Stomped.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, clearly, I don't know how old these people are. That would change a lot of this.
No, but here's the thing. You got to preface it. You got to be like, hey, man, I really like this movie. It's a really well-made movie, which it is. Blue Velvet is excellent.
Fucked up. You got to acknowledge.
You
got to
be like, hey, it's also fucked up. And I promise afterwards, we'll get ice cream.
And you got to know who you're taking on a date here, too. Like, there are Blue Velvet people and there are not Blue Velvet people. There's nothing right or wrong with either of those people, but you just kind of get a feeling for who those people might be.
And if he knew you for that long and didn't like couldn't read that, that clearly means that he was very intent on this thing.
Raising Arizona might be one of my least favorite Coens.
Really?
Actually, on the lower end there.
Oh, it's on my high end.
You like it less than Lady Killers?
Well, no, I said on the low end, not the end of the end.
Yeah, that's kind
of not the ass end.
Yes, that's the ass end of a Coen Brothers movie, I'll tell you that much. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
More of an intolerable cruelty guy.
If you go on a date with a person and their favorite movie is Intolerable Cruelty, run the fuck out. Golden Corral.
But also to the first guy,
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Come on,
that's crazy. Arizona, you've seen it a bunch of times, and I mean, like, there is not, there is sort of. I do understand that thing though of the like. I'm taking somebody to see this movie, and they're not, because I've gotten that where I, like, I've got grown out of that where I'm like, I'm showing somebody something. You're not watching. You're not watching. Oh, it's the best part.
Yeah.
Like, you got to grow out of that too.
You got to just let go. And like, if someone doesn't find something on their own, then, you know, fuck
it. If someone's also fucking grabbing your rod, man, and you're ready to go for it.
That's what's fucking crazy is someone wanted to fuck and someone refused to fuck because Raising Arizona right. was on.
But also now what, I guess Human Centipede we said, but like, are there any other movies from the second email like that would change your opinion?
If someone was
or
like,
has that happened?
My favorite movie is Martyrs. I've seen Martyrs 100 times.
Yeah, that's
I'd be
a
like,
good
yeah,
one.
You might be.
What is Martyrs?
It is a French film.
It's a French in the wave of the new French extreme.
Yes, oh. High tension.
It's very bloody and disgusting and very tense. And if somebody had seen that really more than twice, I'd be like, "Are you insane?" Are you insane?
I hate to harp on this.
Uh-huh.
Somebody's a really rabid Zack Snyder fan. That's a problem.
That's a big problem. That's a good point.
You enjoy Michael Bay movies, I'm fine with you.
Sure.
But the ones who are like, he's the best film, like, Armageddon is the best movie ever made.
I know people like that.
I do too. And those people.
You're
just
right.
Upset
it,
me
it, it
in
changed,
general.
Yeah, it changes your view of them, even if they are seemingly an okay person outside of that.
You
know the truth that they're not.
It suggests an inner darkness that I just don't want to deal with right
now. I don't
now.
Know if this kind of person exists, and I would wager probably not, but sure. I'm just thinking of it as I look at the criterion on my shelf right now. But if someone was like, you know what, man, when I have a bad day, like a real rotten-ass day, and it's raining, and I got fucking fired, and I just want to like come home, veg out and relax, and I put on Alan Rene's Night and Fog, I'm like, that person is fucking terrible and might indeed be a reincarnated Hitler.
Or alternatively, Salo.
Oh yeah. Salo, 120 Days of Sodom. If someone's like, oh boy, come Christmas time, I love to put that movie on.
Seen that more than 3 times?
I obviously Blue Velvet's a cakewalk, you know.
he's
not making you watch the Gestapo's last orgy.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. There are a lot of things worse than Blue Velvet.
Yeah, I mean,
but it is definitely one that.
If it ain't your bag, it ain't your bag. Yeah.
Just, you know, Sonia, expand your horizons. Watch a lot more horrible things, and then you'll realize it was a great movie.
Oh no! Did you go on a date with Eric?
No.
Eric Siska's new podcast, Change Your Mind.
Actually, welcome back to Blue Velvet. It's actually awesome. Actually, episode 69.
No.
Actually,
it's okay if it's not your thing. I totally understand that. It's a disturbing film, but you know, get over it.
Come on.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Never let it go.
No. I understand. I like Raising Arizona too.
All right. Last email. This is a long one.
Is
Holy
this
shit.
Me?
Yeah.
Greening out during Zootopia.
Uh oh.
Hello there, fellas. I have been binge listening to the show for the past few months, and it has been a lifesaver with my LA commute.
Ooh.
I also want to put in a good word for us, by the way. I also wanted to
you obviously work for Hollywood. That's
what LA is. I saw the movies. I also wanted to note that when I first began listening to the show, I had to immediately Google your names. Oh, boy. And scan through the day's issue of the IMDb Tribune because I thought A, Steven was the same guy that voiced Carl, the movie loving convenience store worker on Family Guy.
I don't even know what that is.
That's an earlier one. That's John Benjamin, which is not me at all.
You wish you were John Benjamin.
I might be taller than John Benjamin, but he might be taller than me. It goes one way or the other, man.
His career is taller than
you. It's towering.
And B, that Eric was actor Eric Sisto because of their voices sound similar, and I heard him say Sisto instead of Siska.
I think she's thinking of
Jeremy Sisto.
Jeremy Sisto.
I don't know who that is.
Law and Order's Jeremy
Six
Sisto.
6 Feet Under.
He was in
Rachel Griffith's brother and
he's in Clueless. He's in
Hideaway
as well.
Oh, yes. Hideaway.
He's Jeff Goldblum's double in Hideaway.
My apologies if this offends either of you. Anyway, I wanted to share my story about how I ended up passed out across a row of movie theater seats during the screening of the film Zootopia.
Rut row.
My boyfriend and I hadn't planned on seeing a movie that day, but my phone was being held captive at the Apple Store in the mall, so we thought we had some time to kill, and I figured we should just catch a movie while we waited. Why Zootopia? I think it was the only one that looked mildly entertaining that weekend.
I saw Zootopia. I liked it quite a bit.
It's fun. It's fun.
I didn't watch it because I'm not a fucking child. No, I'm kidding. I was watching Blue Velvet, goddammit.
No, he's waiting for Star Wars.
You fucking idiot. Actually, it's a great movie. No, actually, I did want to see Zootopia.
It's on Netflix.
Never got
to.
Oh, it's on Netflix. All right. Did you hear that, guys? It's on Netflix. I should note that while we were waiting to be helped at the Apple Store, I remembered that I had two triangles of a Delta 9 edible that my boyfriend had me hold in my purse from the previous night.
Jesus Christ. And this is fucking Los Angeles. And we're sitting in here in New York City like idiots. Like fucking idiots.
Hand to mouth. Every week.
And here we're just like afraid Elliot Ness is about to kick the door in.
Just because we even said it.
It's a different world.
I am fucking pulling up floorboards every goddamn night just to relax. And you're at the fucking Apple Store with your Delta 9 squares. Oh, God.
It is really.
Beautiful. It's a fucking beautiful thing.
Yeah, well, you know, you're going to have to import your water forever soon, but.
It goes both ways, man.
The boyfriend drinks a fair share of tall glasses of water daily, while I usually stick to CBD because I'm such a lightweight. I don't know what that is.
No, this is a different language.
They got a whole other fucking language out there. Geez, these days. Chris Gabin, can you translate?
Alphabet soup.
Can you translate?
Oh, you speak. You speak criminal.
I speak water. Yes, I do.
You speak fucking freedom. You don't know. All right, continue.
That day,
CBD,
however,
I don't know.
That day, however, I decided to eat a whole triangle, 60 milligrams of THC, thinking I was a badass and wanted to show off my tolerance to the newish boyfriend.
Oh, this is showboating. This is what happens.
Afternoon at the mall. I should also note that I have a heart and blood pressure problem. This is another reason I chose to be a lightweight and why this, again, was a very stupid decision on my part.
It started out as an afternoon at the Apple Store, and she was never seen again.
She was taking drugs I can't pronounce.
While a bunny cop ran around the screen.
Have you ever seen the Robert Duvall movie THX 198? It sounds like that.
I was feeling good walking to the theater, feeling even better when we sat down, had a nice buzz going. Then the lights dimmed and I ruined it for all the kids.
Then I started screaming at children.
And the preview started.
Those animals are talking! That fox is wearing a tie!
What is happening?
And immediately I felt like I was being pulled through the rabbit hole. I could barely open my mouth to form words to inform the boyfriend that I was probably going to die right there.
Jesus Christ.
I tried to get up and walk out of the theater because I felt like I was going to pass out or throw up or my soul was going to leave my body or some other horrific thing.
This is a letter and a half.
I couldn't even get up and instead ended up crawling over two seats and passing out on the row of seats closest to the aisle. Thankfully, they were there were only about four other people in the theater. But I am sure it didn't look great to have some chick passed out across the theater seats during what was a cartoon movie. The boyfriend, who was also riding high, comforted me by putting his hand on my leg. Oh, great. Good job. To make sure I was still alive.
Hey, you good?
Hey, this fox is wearing a tie. Are you good?
Little known fact, Eric Siska did this same exact thing when he saw The Great Gatsby.
Yeah, and also The Greasy Strangler. Thanks a lot, Chris Cabin.
Oh, I've got a fucking... I got a story about Chris Cabin after this.
With his fucking... Yeah, I don't know about Delta 9, but I think Chris Cabin's got a United 10.
I don't remember leaving the theater once the movie was finished or picking up my phone from the Apple store after. I don't even know how I ended up alive the next morning because, dear Lord, I greened out and then some.
Oh.
After Zootopia came out on DVD, I watched it with my nieces and nephews. Did you share? Did you share some squares? I honestly couldn't remember the single part of the film to save for the sloths at the DMV, which probably you remember because it was on the fucking previews nonstop.
Yeah.
I remember that. I could fucking recite that scene, and I didn't see the movie.
Read the next sentence.
And I think I only remember that because those were played over and over to the previews. All right. Hey, you don't know. I might be on some Deltas or some CWDs or WMDs or whatever the fuck you call them. I might be riding high on a DMV right now. I have learned my lesson, and my boyfriend and I now have a rule with tall glasses of water. If I say I can totally handle that, all he has to do is remind me of Zootopia, and I remember that, no, I cannot, in fact, handle it. You guys rock. Thank you for every single one of the laughs, Jessica. Well, thank you for listening, Jessica, and thank you for telling us your story about how you do apparently somehow legal drugs during cartoons.
So
I think we all got one for here.
Yes. Yeah, well, I'll preface this story that all of these stories take place in Colorado.
That's correct. Yes,
so back when Chris and I were living in Astoria, Queens.
Colorado.
Yeah, Astoria, Queens, Colorado.
Queens, Colorado.
I had just moved in with him and Eric. I had summer Fridays and Chris was hanging out. And I was like, yo, man, could you grab me? I'll give you like $100. Just get me $100 worth of tall glasses of water. He's like, yeah, man, no worries. He comes back and he's like, yeah, actually, I got like $60 of tall glasses of water and then $40 worth of mushroom candies.
Oh.
And I'm like, I don't know what these are. And he's like, oh, no, they're just, I've had them before. They're just like weed. It's totally fine. It's regular. Don't worry about it. So I sit down with him. I pop one. And immediately I'm like, oh, these are just fucking mushrooms. Like, I'm just now surprisingly on mushrooms.
I said they were mushroom candies.
But you said
that you were surprised that they were mushrooms.
But you were like, oh, it's just totally regular, man. And now we had an overzealous landlord that was still working on the apartment that just kind of barged in. We're watching Ren and Stimpy.
Your pupils are gone.
Yeah, our eyes are as big as the fucking sun. And sure enough, this guy is just like, hey, man, I just got to check something. Like, what? What's going on? Yeah, that was a rough day. I really enjoy the come. I don't like that thing, but I really enjoy the come down. It's a nice feeling.
I think they're both brilliant, but I see what you're saying.
Sure.
And also being surprised by that.
By Chris Cabin. Also, one time when Chris and I saw Sucker Punch, he's like, oh, yeah, take a brownie. It's totally fine. We had it. I went to work the next day, and I'm like, I'm still high. Okay, cool. All right, I'm at work now. It's been 13 hours. I've seen the film Sucker Punch.
You were texting me a lot that day.
I sure was.
Chris, am I alive? Send.
Did we see Sucker Punch? Could it have possibly been that bad?
Oh, Lord. One time it was Eric's birthday, and Chris Cabin decided he was going to do some culinary, confectionery, sure, something yes, or other. We're watching the movie, I believe it was called The Car with James Brolin, about a car that's possessed by the devil.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, these cupcakes are delicious.
Oh, no.
It was just, I, you know, like going through a couple of them, you know what I mean? But then, like,
you were in Colorado at the time.
I was in Colorado at the time.
Of course. Whenever we mentioned a tall glass of water, we're in Colorado.
Yeah, we travel a lot there. Yeah. And so, we're sitting there, and it's Eric's birthday, and we're so jubilant that Eric Siska has lived to see another year go by. And then it was
a surprise, isn't it?
It is. I feel some other things are passing around as this is happening and whatnot. And so then it's like, oh, man, like now it's time to go to the large public space garden.
That's your mistake.
Where the party's really going to start. And so we're sitting there in this Astoria, Queens, Colorado beer garden. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking through this fucking table. I'm looking at like the rings of wood. I know how old this fucking tree was that made this table. Going through the whole thing. And I realize I can't stand up. And at one point, Eric comes over and he just says, "Hey, man, are you having a good time at my party?" And I got this huge like stein of beer in my hand. And I just say, "Well, I'm so glad that you came over and asked me, because I don't think I can stand up to come over to you." And he just leans over and goes, "I have no idea how I'm walking right now." And that was it. And then I went home about 20 minutes after that.
Yeah, you have to.
Eric, do you have one about me? Because I have one that I think I've been holding back on.
Oh.
Chris Cabin. Please take the floor, Chris.
Chris Cabin opening the
if
vault.
If you have one involving me or somebody else.
I think everyone knows the story. It's a story, you know? It's like Chris Cabin gives you something. And you take it. And then you watch the movie, like Steve was saying, and then and also in this letter we just read, you feel existential dread, I guess. It's just like I'm not a horse. And eventually it fades. So you know,
sure.
I mean, that's been at least twice with you.
You think you'd learn.
Yeah,
a whole lot of you.
I don't remember a lot of my time in Astoria, Queens, Colorado. I'll be completely honest with you. That was 2 years of my life.
Wait, so what is this vault story?
But you know what the story is.
Oh, yes.
Okay, tell it.
It's good.
So me and Andrew, when we were in high school, this is like when we met, essentially. We started a cinema club in our high school.
Sure.
That's what you do. A couple of studious students.
Quite a lot of people signed up for this thing.
Oh, it was surprisingly popular.
So we're going to have our first meeting. And we're like, okay, so right after school, we meet like 3:30 or something like that.
Sure.
I have a little bit of a daily appointment in the woods.
Yeah, sure.
To smoke weed with my friend Brian.
And worship the devil.
No, Slender Man. You gotta go talk to Slender Man.
I gotta go smoke
get the
up
orders Slender for the day.
Man. This is Albany, New York, Colorado?
Yes.
We're traveling there at the time.
So I go out and Brian's got everything ready.
Slender Man, he's got all
he's ready to go. He's awfully tall.
Slender Man will never steer you wrong, Chris.
And we smoke, and I'm like, it's a little stronger than usual. Like, it just tasted different. And he's like, yeah. And like, it's like ash at this point. And he's like, yeah, it's chronic.
Oh man, you can't surprisingly smoke chronic.
No, and I was like, what is chronic for the people that are uninitiated?
Dusted with cocaine. I mean, you can dust it with anything, but
it's
like
traditionally cocaine.
Yeah, usually cocaine. I'm pretty sure it was not cocaine.
that's a little too rich for your
But
blood.
It was probably something worse than cocaine. Yeah.
Fucking broken up cough drops.
And this is why the government's got to get involved, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, this is because I'm dead.
He's been a ghost the whole time.
Oh, God.
I haunted this
7 years being haunted.
So
he's just a computer ghost. He's in our laptop.
Like, so even if I wasn't going to be hopped up as it was, I just find this out as I'm walking to...
The knowledge actually hurts, yeah.
Hurts it. And, like, I'm walking to this fucking meeting, and I
and
am...
He's late as fuck, by the way.
I am sweating everywhere. My feet are sweating. My knees are sweating. My ass is sweating.
Oh, yeah, well,
everything is sweating.
More than usual.
And I am just like, it's like a fucking Lumet movie. I'm at the table, like, wiping my brow. Andrew's looking at me like, are you okay?
I thought he was going to have diarrhea.
Really? You don't know what's going on with
that Slender
Man.
I had no idea. I wasn't there. It
could have been a Wendy situation.
Did not sleep that night.
Did you? How was your performance at the meeting? Did you take minutes?
A lot of mumbling.
He wasn't very productive.
No.
Well, see, so Jessica, everybody makes mistakes.
Yes.
At least you're in the land of the golden sun, and you can
buy it
legally, and you've got triangles of things I've never even heard of.
And we know what it's like because we're in Colorado.
Yeah, all right. And we also learned today that it's okay not to like Blue Velvet, and different strokes for different folks. I can't eat buckets of whatever Chris eats. And United 10s, United 93s, I think is what you gave me.
Oh, okay. I was going
to
say.
The Eric Siska apology tour. He's going to go to Dwayne Reed, Sonya in Brooklyn.
I'm going to bow to that Saudi king.
Finally.
That's WHM Mailbag for the month of April. If you want your crazy story read on the air, or if you have a question for us, write into the mailbag, WHM's email address, which is indeed weallhatemovies@gmail.com. There we go. So until next month, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.